This is a bittersweet day to commemorate the departure, retirement of an all-time great, Danny Ainge, who won championships as a player and won a championship as a head of basketball, unprecedented in Celtics history. One of the truly finest people I've ever met in my life, on and off the court. You epitomize what it is to be a Celtic.
That is Boston Celtics co-owner Wick Grousbeck. He's speaking to reporters yesterday at a surprise press conference announcing that Danny Ainge would be stepping down as the president of basketball operations for the Celtics and head coach Brad Stevens would be taking his place. Now, understand, Danny Ainge was a former Boston Celtics player and in the front office role for 18 years. Brad Stevens just finished as coach during a pretty bad basketball year with a team full of talent that he couldn't get to act like a team. So yes, this is a really big deal on the basketball front. It's also a fascinating study in how any business or organization handles leadership, failures, changes, internal culture, disruption, all of it. So let's talk about it. Here to help us check the score, of course, is Radio Boston's Chris Siderek. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Tiziana, that is the longest I've ever gone without interrupting you. I think I deserve a cookie for that.
You know, if I had a cookie, I would give it to you. Absolutely. Chocolate chip. And joining us for this also, Kyrie Thompson, sports writer for Boston.com. Kyrie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you a lot for having me.
It's great to have you. And listeners, we're welcoming your calls on this. If you follow basketball, what do you make of these Celtics moves? This is a really big deal. This is like if Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft made a change or made a swap, you know, like that at the Patriots. So if you've been following it, was leadership the problem for the team? What do you think of this? But even if you're not a hoops fan, raises some questions. If an organization is struggling with failure or its internal culture is off, what is the right step? Do you make a leadership change? Do you hold things in place and try to work on your team? What do you want to see happen in your own company if it's facing something like this? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Chris, Kyrie, that is kind of where we're going at this. There are some really interesting leadership lessons going on here. So Kyrie, I'm just going to start by asking you, how surprising was it to see a shakeup after this painful Celtics season?
It was very surprising. I think it took really the entire NBA community off guard. And it's interesting because there were musings about Danny Ainge and how long he wanted to stay in the job. And would he consider stepping down after some of the criticism he's gotten in recent years? And in particular this year, where, I mean, this team was one game away from going to the NBA finals.
Don't remind me. Come on.
Yeah. They were one game away from going to the finals. And then they ended up as the seventh seed this year in the East. And they were constantly like hovering around 500 and they like weren't beating teams they were supposed to beat. And so I think, you know, Ainge took that personally. You know, he said that he didn't feel like he had necessarily done the best job, but it didn't necessarily mean that all of us expected that he would hang it up. And certainly the idea of Brad Stevens not being the coach anymore. I mean, a lot of people wanted to blame Brad Stevens for how this year went. You know, there are obviously conflicting opinions on that, but I mean, this is a guy who's, he's locked in, you know, contract wise for like the next 4 or 5 years. So it's like, no one expected him to go anywhere.
I do think the Stevens part is the most surprising, if you don't mind, Tiziana, because Ainge, you know, he's talked about since this announcement, he's had a couple of heart attacks over the last 10 years or so and was kind of concerned about stress level and all that. And as Kyrie said, there have been kind of rumblings that he may step away. But Stevens, there was talk of Brad Stevens getting fired during the year. There's a report out there that at least one prominent member of the Celtics front office wanted him to be fired as the coach this year. So to see him essentially get a promotion and is now running the whole show, I think that is the real surprising part of this news. He's got zero front office experience. It is stunning, I think, to see Stevens jump to that job.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, right? It's like he didn't have any NBA head coaching experience when he took over this job either. You know, when you think about it.
That's true. And Danny Ainge jumped from coach to front office. So it's not like it can't be done. Yeah. I just think it's surprising to see it done this quickly.
And I listened to Danny Ainge talk about this, and he was pretty adamant that the whole rumor about Brad Stevens somebody wanting to fire him, that it was false and all that. But obviously, you never know what really goes on behind the scenes. Of course, he's going to say that. I just figured I'd put that out there. But yeah, I mean, this season was, I mean, you can't deny that this did not go the way that the Celtics planned or okay. hoped.
Yeah.
So let's pick up on that thread, because now you guys have raised an important point that, again, I think anybody can understand. You have somebody whose job it is to produce a win, right? To produce a positive outcome. They don't. And then the next thing you know, they're promoted, right? This is an interesting thing. And we're going to come back to some parallels from some other big Boston institutions in a minute. But talk about where the systemic failures were inside the Celtics organization, because there are lessons there too for organizational culture that are bigger than basketball. So Chris, jump in there and then Kyrie, round it out for us.
Yeah, to me, this is a journey that I think started a few years ago when the Celtics actually acquired Kyrie Irving. I think you really started to see a shift in this franchise's approach and values. The NBA for a long time now has been a player-driven league. Players have all the power. They decide where they play. Some of the best players decide who their coach is going to be. So it is a player-driven league. The Celtics have tried to kind of remain outside of that. They have this kind of storied history, 17 titles, the most titles in the history of the league. And they've kind of had this approach. The team is bigger than any one player. You don't see a lot of teams approaching it with that mindset anymore. And I think when Kyrie came here, he tried to bring the Celtics into this kind of modern NBA moment and tried to be this guy. And the Celtics, I think, gave him a lot of leeway. They there was a moment where he played in an all-star game after missing the two actual regular season games before that. And Celtics front office said, oh, it's no big deal, whatever. We don't really care. So there was kind of this idea, we're going to let him be a little bit of me first. And hopefully that'll make him happy and he'll want to stay here and re-sign here. And I think in doing that, they've kind of sacrificed the values of the franchise. No, he didn't. And I think ultimately it's because they weren't willing to go far enough and do the type of things. Like I said, Kyrie's the kind of player. He wants to be able to have input on who the coach is. He wants to be able to have input on who's on the roster. And the Celtics weren't quite willing to give that much up. But they found themselves in this kind of no man land, I think, where they've now lost this idea of team first, but they're not fully in the player driven moment either. And it's going to be really interesting to see where they go from here.
So Kyrie Thompson, we were just talking about player Kyrie Irving. Do you agree that we now have a basketball team and an institution that's kind of in a cultural no man's land where they don't know who they are? And you can't bring the best out of your players, because there are great players on this team, but they have not been able to function as a team. Do you agree with that diagnosis?
I would. And first of all, it's like I feel sometimes like I do have to apologize for my name in advance around here. So it's like, oh, you're Kyrie too.
Not that Kyrie.
Hey, I didn't pick that one. I think it's really interesting that you brought up, obviously, Kyrie Irving and that being a starting point, because then think about what happened in that 2017-2018 season. Kyrie Irving is there, Gordon Hayward is there, and they have this big four, kind of that they're working on. And then all of a sudden, Gordon Hayward gets hurt right away. Kyrie Irving,
and he was a promising and exciting draft pick, right? Just for our listeners.
Yeah. Well, they brought him in from Utah, but yeah, he was a really talented scorer, great player.
Yeah. And go so ahead. This big four kind of like player driven plan that you talked about didn't work. And they went to the NBA finals or they almost made it to the NBA finals anyway. They were a LeBron James away from getting there. But it's like that was an example of almost like the inverse, the team first. We're going to grind. We're going to get everything out of this squad that we have. And they almost made it to a title opportunity. It was an incredible thing to watch when you had two young players in Jason Tatum, who was a rookie, and Jaylen Brown, who was a second year player, running this thing. And then when you fast forward that now a couple of years, I do think they're in a bit of a no man's land kind of crossroads, because now you've had a situation where they tried to get like another big three with Kemba Walker, who's been, he's a very good vibes kind of guy, good team first guy, but he hasn't been healthy. So he hasn't been contributing into this necessarily like a real big three on a consistent basis. And then you have, now these two all-star players who are great that are almost sometimes playing one or two on five out there. And then the defense wasn't as good this year as it's been in years past. And it really makes you think, did they need a change of leadership from the coaching staff? Were they listening, right? Did they buy in fully? And was it time to make this change because they just kind of ran out of room here in the window for this particular partnership with Brad Stevens as the coach and this core as the star. Did it run out? I think that it did. And I mean, you never plan on it going that way, but certainly I think that the Celtics have much bigger questions to answer than just who the coach is going to be going into next year.
So what does that then, again, we always cross over when we do sports here on Radio Boston, we kind of always cross over between the sports and sort of how it signifies in the larger world. And I find myself hearing this and I think, okay, you've laid all that out. It's clear to see that where the failures, the structural or the institutional failures have been. And now you see the coach promote up, right? So the team, the fans, everybody see that you've got this coach who now is permanent and an even bigger and arguably more important role. How do you then turn around a team with that kind of hanging out over the heads, Chris? How do you, what does the organization do now?
I mean, it's a really interesting question, and we'll see is the real answer here. But I think there's a couple of things in what you just said. Brad Stevens, I don't know that this is a permanent move, to be honest. He is young. I could see him in a year or two getting the itch to try to get back into coaching here or elsewhere. But I do think the Celtics organization clearly loves the way Brad Stevens sees the game. They think he has a great tactical basketball mind. Where he failed as a coach was his ability to connect with players, especially young superstars. And so much of coaching in the NBA is about just managing your talent and making sure all your guys are happy and have what they need to be successful. And that's, I think, why we saw Stevens do better with some of these lesser known, less talented, frankly, guys than he did once Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown started to emerge into the stars that they're going to be over the next few years. All I'll say is this is a huge window for this team. We've got Jason Tatum for 3 more years, and who knows what happens after that. So they really need to maximize this moment over the next year or two.
So Kyrie, you know, I this is reminiscent for me of Marty Walsh knows he's leaving. So just before he leaves, he appoints a new police commissioner without vetting. Now, obviously, from there, we go some very different places. But Brad Stevens gets put in for Danny Ainge because he's the guy they know and they think he can do it. So how important is it now to have a real search process for the coach? And what do we have to look for in that process?
Well, I'll tell you what, like, this decision is the biggest one the Celtics franchise probably has had to make for quite a long time. Maybe not every last thing hinges upon it, but most of the stuff that follows will depend on this. And one thing that I'm seeing is that is that they're not necessarily looking for a coach to come in with brilliant X's and O's knowledge who, you know, draws up the perfect plays and puts everybody in the perfect spots on the court and all of that. I mean, Brad Stevens can do that. Brad Stevens can be part of that process. It seems like what they want is somebody who is going to buy into this culture, who is going to instill a toughness, who's going to spark these guys and inspire them to get back to where they were just, you know, a couple of years ago, or honestly, a couple of months ago, to be honest with you. And I think that there's such a wide net potentially being cast right now. You see a bunch of big names, you know, former coaches. You're also seeing some guys from the college ranks that were former NBA players that are known to have a lot of that fire. Like I've seen, you know, like a Juwan Howard who, you know, he actually almost got into it with somebody during the NCAA tournament and fired up his team and they loved it and all that. I'm also seeing the possibility of maybe the Celtics take a good hard look at hiring the first female head coach in NBA history.
There you go.
I've seen the name Becky Hammond, an assistant for the San Antonio Spurs, who's a great WNBA player, well-respected. She's been in the Spurs organization learning from one of the best ever over there. And she's been a hot name for a few years. It just kind of depends on who, you know, maybe decides to take that chance. I've also seen Carol Lawson.
Kyrie, all right,
I got to take it back from you there.
I
got to take it back from you there.
Let's say, I just want to say, Bruins game 3 tonight, 7:30. You know I'm on this team. This is a cup contender. Check it out. Series heads back to New York. It's going to be a good one. There's my music. All right, go Bees. We can do it.
Hey, great to have you both. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break here. I'm Tiziana Deering. When we come back, vaccine incentives. We're going to talk about them. This is Radio Boston.